Hi, I'm Lisa Davis. Welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM. April is Autism Awareness Month, and joining us today is Shonda Schilling to talk about her wonderful book, The Best Kind of Different, Our Family's Journey with Asperger's Syndrome. In The Best Kind of Different, Shonda Schilling, wife of retired Boston Red Sox all-star pitcher Kurt Schilling, shares the painful and joyous story of her son Grant's struggle with Asperger's Syndrome, how it changed the lives of her and her husband, what other parents can learn about this increasingly common diagnosis. Shonda, welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, it's so wonderful to have you here. Now, you know, I really loved your book, and I do have a child who has also has Asperger's, so I was reading it and saying, oh, yeah, I know the arguing and a lot of the other issues that can happen. And I related it, you know, to it in so many ways. And I know a lot of the listeners today are who are listening have children on the spectrum. And I just think your book is so wonderful. And I just really appreciate your honesty. And it's a really beautiful book. And, you know, in your book, you share the story of how you and Kurt met and got married and you began moving around for his baseball career. And then you had a family. And you write that your first two children, Garrick and Gabby, were quite easy and adaptable to baseball.
Well, certainly the idea of motherhood was cruising right along with the first and the second one. And then the third one came along, and there were little things like he wouldn't stay in the stands. He didn't want to be in the stands. He had absolutely no interest in baseball at all. He had no interest that Kurt was on the field. Moves as he got a little bit older became a little bit harder. When we would go on the road to visit Kurt, it would often be exhausting. Because, you know, argue, negotiate, that's what they're best known for doing,
oh, yes.
Kids with Asperger's. So,
definitely.
And then there was always those times where, you know, being the one.
Faithful life, and then came Grant.
Kids, the main caregiver, where I was just exhausted from the arguing, and then he would get his own way. So then I had a whole new set of arguments on my hands from the other kids for him getting his own way.
The guilt that you have about how you handled the situation with him before you knew that he had Asperger's, and I'm hoping that you found ways to forgive yourself, because even, you know, knowing when your child has a diagnosis, you can still yell, and, you know, it's hard. It's a really hard situation.
Well, it's very frustrating. Like Kurt likes to explain, he's a jack in a box. You never know when he's going to pop up, and he can kiss you on the cheek and make the hair on your neck stand up at the same time. I mean, he says, you never know what you're going to get with him, and it is very hard. I mean, I know today the biggest thing that we've learned is that the yelling has stopped, because
yes.
That's how we were, you know, we were raised in a family that when the parent got louder, that meant serious. But for a kid who has Asperger's, that just means they shut down. And even though they can't verbalize that and you've never been exposed to that, you know that that's not working, but that's all you know.
Yes.
So now that he's been diagnosed, I mean, I certainly take a lot more deep breaths when I talked to him, but there was that time where, you know, I was yelling at the top of my lungs at a child that had no idea what they were doing wrong and couldn't compute in their head the way that their brain is wired why I was so mad and why I was getting so loud.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's interesting, too, when you mentioned about the computing, that was something that got you to say, wait a second, something's going on, when Kurt was home and he was playing football with them, and he came in. And tell us about what he said and how that affected you.
Well, I was so frustrated because Kurt was on the road, and when things had started to really escalate was when I realized that my younger son was actually more mature than my older son. And I had put him in Pop Warner, and I was calling Kurt going, this is not working. It's not working. I'm really, you know, he's being drugged by the helmet. I don't understand why he can't just listen. And Kurt's telling me more discipline. He doesn't respect you. And I'm getting frustrated. And so the time that Kurt and Grant really spent together, unless you're around this, it's the only way you can grasp how different it really is. And so we came home, and I was just really mad. And I said, just take him outside and try to get him interested in football. Maybe he'll play better. And he was only out there about 5 minutes, and he walked in, and he said, he's not processing anything that I said. And something as simple as that was where it clicked, something must be really wrong. Because, I mean, there I was, day in and day out. That didn't even occur to me, that he wasn't processing anything. But somebody who could stand outside of it and look in, he said processing.
Oh. And then you Googled, right?
I Googled processing, and the only thing that came up was autism. And I think, like a lot of your listeners out there who've probably never been exposed to it, we think autism, and we go right to the place where that's where the most awareness is, the kids who are not high functioning, the kids who are rocking, you know, the Rain
mm-hmm.
Man, the things. This is what we've been told is autism. And that's really what is so important, why I feel my book is so important, is because it shows there's such a wide spectrum.
Really,
and so many people out there with autism are functioning, and they're doing, working in the world, and they're doing amazing things in the world.
Oh,
and so I think a lot of parents who have kids who are on the spectrum of autism are afraid to use that word. But if we educate the public on what autism really is, then we'll be able to arm our kids and the people around them with the information of how to bring the best out of these kids.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, look at Temple Grandin. I had the honor of interviewing her recently, and I also got to interview her mother, Eustacia Cutler, who, you know, was told in 1950 when Temple got diagnosed, they called it infant schizophrenia back then. They told her to put her in an institution. Yeah, it was really intense. She's an amazing woman, and she said no, and everybody was telling her to, and her husband was totally unsupportive, and, you know, but she said no. Now Temple is the most famous and successful person we know with autism. And it's just, there's so much that can be done. It really, it's true. You know, I had the pleasure of interviewing you on 96.9 FM Talk. And you had mentioned that, you know, you remember going to school with kids that now you look back and say, oh my gosh, I'm sure they had Asperger's. And I do
Absolutely.
Too. And they put them in special ed and they didn't. And a lot of kids drop out too, because a lot of kids tend to be gifted who
right.
have, you know, this diagnosis. And the dropout rate for gifted kids is really high because they're misunderstood, or and they probably had Asperger's as well. And if you can touch on that, you had some such nice things to say. I really enjoyed
well,
that.
Well, I mean, well, after the diagnosis and you go through the fear and then you go through, you know, there's so many stages to it, and you go through the guilt, I really sat back and thought, I knew kids in high school that were just mm-hmm. like that, who talked obsessively about crazy stuff. And it's not crazy. I mean, it's just the
yeah,
things
it's what
that were their interests. And they just knew so much knowledge and, you know, as a teenager, I'm looking at them going, wow, like, okay, you know, and they don't know when to stop, and they don't know when to, you know, to insert themselves appropriately into conversations. But some of those kids, when, you know, that probably weren't diagnosed, were put into this special education program, and again, we weren't exposed to, probably, again, while, you know, why my generation isn't familiar with anything that's different, because
mm-hmm.
we took different right out of it. And kids that are nowadays are so blessed because they're integrated into all sorts and types of people, and yet, you know, that's easier for them to handle. It's not really the kids that are afraid of the Asperger's. I think it's the adults,
really
who are just not familiar with it.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I
know
that
some of the beautiful
ahead.
Minds that we probably missed out on because we put them into a behavioral problem and put them in the special education classroom.
Yes, yeah, and you know, you had mentioned too what I liked in your book about, you know, that kids with Asperger's, their brains are wired differently, and as parents of children on the spectrum, we need to kind of rewire our brains about how we deal with them and how we handle
right.
it. And it's so
right.
true.
Yeah,
that is so true.
Well,
and how's that process been like for you?
Well, you know what, it's been there's always things that are changing. You know, in the past couple weeks, Grant has got in his mind that he's mature enough to do things that I don't really feel comfortable that he's mature enough. And that's just being a little bit on, you know, on his own. But I don't know that he necessarily always thinks before he, you know, may walk out into a street or something. So we're at that struggle with, he's in the fourth grade. They're getting to do a little bit more things. And yet I'm a little bit nervous about it. So I feel like I'm always hitting something new every couple
yes.
weeks.
Mm-hmm.
To try and wrap my brain around. So, like I said to Kurt, every time I think I've got my brain wrapped around it, he throws out something different. So I can tell you that I can certainly wait for puberty.
Oh, my gosh, I know. My daughter's 5 and a half, and I'm like, oh, gosh, puberty, I'm already concerned.
Because puberty is enough to put any parent in a padded room, but a parent
yes.
of an Asperger child, you know, and I think sometimes, you know, I worry about things that I shouldn't even worry about. You know, I worry about how other kids
yes.
are going to react to him, but he doesn't realize it.
Yes.
So
yeah.
I think that sometimes bothers me more than it bothers him.
Mm-hmm.
Looking back, all the signs were there.
Yeah.
It's just that I did not know. I did not know that there was this sort of special child that even existed in the world to be
yeah,
able to.
Yeah, you don't know about the spectrum. I mean, I mean, how are you going to know? And the other thing, too, that we talked about in the interview on 96.9 is that you had so many people second-guessing you,
mm-hmm.
and you'd bring up Grant's behavior, and they would say, oh, you need to be firmer, you need to discipline, he needs to respect you, and they wouldn't really say, well, wait a second, let's hear what's going on with Grant, or, you know, and I think that would have helped as well.
And I do think, you know, I say this all the time. You have to go with your gut as a mother or as a father or as a parent because, you know, the way that schools are these days, they're not allowed to bring those things up, you know, because so many parents are argumentative, not my child, not my child, that, you know, I'm sure that they don't want to do it or they can't do it or they have to be. There's so many laws in place to protect this one, that, and the other. But in reality, if somebody would have tapped me on the shoulder in kindergarten and said, you know, I think something's wrong, I would have much rather known at 5 years old than to wait till he was 7 years old.
Yeah, you know, I was wondering about that. I was kind of surprised that the teachers didn't, you know, say something.
I think, you know, probably there was a couple things into play that it was Kurt Schilling's son, even though we had said over and over again, do not play favorites. We tell the teachers all that time. Please do not treat him different. Please call us because you're not going to do them any favors.
That's true.
In life, if you do not do this. But, you know, we were in the middle of the World Series. We had moved back and forth when he was in kindergarten. We were still living part-time in Arizona and coming back to Boston. So I don't know if they really could get their hands on him. But it wasn't until afterwards that I went back that I found that he had all the problems. Like, I went back to preschool and they said, oh, he never sat in circle time, you know, and that's that free-thinking preschool that is letting the kids be their own kids, and it's all about socializing.
Oh.
So, you know, in their eyes, we were giving him the choice. Well, that was, you know, was not helpful when he went to kindergarten and they said, come to circle time, and he says, no, I think I'll pass. You know, he had been taught that he didn't really have to sit there if he didn't want to. So that was there was a lot of stuff when we went back that made sense. And then, you know, you can look at kids now and know there's a little bit something, there's just a little wire that's gone different. The problem is, you know, we put this label of autism into being such a bad thing. And really, the fact that he's on the spectrum of autism, he's got an amazing mind. He really has an amazing brain. And, you know, my youngest has dyslexia. And we don't care about throwing that word around. Oh, he's dyslexic. Well, that's because dyslexic doesn't mean that he's never going to be able to read. And so we need to get to a point where Asperger's and the spectrum of autism, it doesn't mean that they're not going to grow up to be normal, functioning adults.
Yes.
You know, and that's why I think we're so afraid of the word.
Yeah, I think so, too. And that's why it's so great to have you on because you know, you've lived it, and you're, again, your book is just fantastic. And one thing that you pointed out in the book that I think is so important and is key for everyone to understand is you write, quote, the most eye-opening thing the neurologist pointed out was that Grant wasn't acting out or being difficult on purpose. That is so huge.
Recently, to my father, I mean, and I love my father, my father's around him, and Grant was having a meltdown in a restaurant, and it was just easier for me to take him out. And at the end of the day, my dad said, do you think he was playing you a little bit? And it's like, I can't get into what part is playing me. I need to get to the part where he's stuck. He's sitting in the floor in the, you know, in the entryway to the restaurant, and I need to get him out.
Exactly.
You know, so, I you know, we could sit here and discuss, but I can't evaluate every little behavior because it's all day long. It's everything that they do all day long. So I have to try and cut things off at the pass before they get to a point where I can't handle it. And, you know, what I tell people when they say, well, what do you think about the future is, Grant at 10 years old is maturity of an 8-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
So when he's 25 and 30, there's no difference.
Yeah.
You know, it's just that it's so big now and that we are teaching him those social cues. He might not be perfect, but he will be able to function in the world, and he'll be able to hold a job, and he'll get married, and he'll do all that stuff. It was very hard for me to see in the beginning, but I understand that now, that, you know, he will have a job that he loves and that he wants to do, and he will marry somebody who has the same interests that he does.
Definitely. Shauna, what would you say to parents who are listening who are saying, you know, I kind of see some of these things in my children, I'm not really sure, or in my child? What advice would you have for them?
I have to go back to go with your gut.
Mm-hmm.
Ask questions. I've had several conversations with people this way, and one of the things they find out is that the doctors say, ooh, we don't like to put labels on. Get the label.
Yeah.
So you know what you're dealing with and your friends are dealing with and your family's dealing with. that makes these children become the best kind of children that they can be. Because, you know, once we understand how their brain works, then we can help them, and they can help us. I mean, there's so many lessons on both sides of this. And, you know, after you get the diagnosis, or whatever kind of diagnosis it is, it's deep breath and education and educating yourself about what your life is like. And then it all becomes easier and it becomes part of your life. But I think the biggest thing in the book that I thought was just so important was we never know what's going on in someone else's home. And here we were living what everyone thought was a dream, but you never knew what was going on. And so the next time you're in a grocery store, you know, instead of offering that look of, oh, how can you not get control of your child, how much nicer the world would be and how much easier things would have been on me if somebody would have said, you're going to be okay, it's just today, you know, or something like that, instead of making me feel as if I were the worst parent, you know, that ever went out.
You know, and another thing in your book that I love is you talk about having support, which is so crucial. If you can tell us a little bit about the lunch bunch. I love that.
The best medicine is your girlfriends. Because, and I have to tell you, my best friend was in a head-on collision 6 weeks ago. Someone crossed the lane, hit her. So she was in the hospital. It's a long recovery. But, you know, you really realize when you lose that best friend. So I went to my husband and I said, my best friend's in the hospital, and his sister is my other best friend. I said, she's going through a really hard time with her marriage, so you're going to sit here and listen to me. So he did, and he never said a word. And I said, she needs to get better soon. Because he said, you just told me to listen. I didn't know what to do. But sometimes we feel like if we talk too much about something, people don't want to hear us anymore. But those girlfriend times are those times that you get together and you just kind of say it and you laugh and you get it out on the table. And sometimes it just always feels better to say the feelings that you feel. And your girlfriends are going to be the ones that say, that's silly. Oh, you definitely deserve to feel that way. And, you know, you go, and you've had too much on your plate. And somehow we walk back into our home and are able to take on things better than we did before we went to lunch. So I was at a session, and I was having a hard time, and she goes, the medicine, what I'm going to prescribe for you is to get your girlfriends together and have lunch. And it was exactly what I needed.
Oh, that's so great. Oh, and the other thing that I did want to mention, because I think this is so important, is you write about in the book that, you know, you were told by one of the doctors that, you know, it'd be nice for you to get some help, and you took offense, and then you realized that they were actually, it's a good thing. You know, and my husband used to say that when my daughter was a baby and I was going nuts, and he was like, you need to get some help. You need to find someone to help us out. We need to, you know, and I'd be like, no, I can handle it. But what are you trying to say? And it really did make a difference. So I think you got to get that message to moms out there that it's okay.
Yeah, it's okay to ask for help because sometimes we do need that break. I mean, all parents need breaks, but parents with kids on the spectrum or parents whose kids have disabilities, you know, you really realize, and I realized this through my journey with Grant and through writing the book, that I have a couple friends, one has a son with SMA and one who has a son with Down syndrome, that they really don't get those breaks. They don't get those breaks because, one, parents are afraid to take those children on. And so the time that they get alone is far less than we can when we hand off a typical child for a play date.
Yes, that's true. It's true. Yeah, I would be lost without my father-in-law. My daughter's grandpa is the best. That's the difference. Oh my gosh, she just loves Grampy, and he loves her, and he's understanding, and it's really nice. It's so nice to have that help. Now, Shauna, are there any experts in the area or any organizations that you'd like to recommend that people can check out?
Well, the Asperger's Association of New England has been an incredible resource. I mean, if you ever wonder why you give your money to something, you know, the things that they have and the people they have accessible to you to be able to point you in the direction and give you these life skills and these coaching skills for your child. It's a great organization, and also the youth care has a camp that they have for kids with on the spectrum of autism or autism, and teaches them how those social skills. So organizations like that are just a godsend to people like ourselves.
Oh, that's great. You know, I'm really lucky that I have experts that come on every month, and one of them is Dr. J. Stuart Ablon, and he's the director of Think Kids, and it's a program in the Department of Psychiatry at the nonprofit Massachusetts General Hospital, and they train adults in helping kids with social and emotional behavioral challenges, and I just want to throw it out there. It's www.thinkkids.org. He is amazing, and boy, my mom and my brother would have benefited so greatly from him. I mean, he really teaches all about collaborating. He wrote Treating the Explosive Child. He co-wrote it with Dr. Green, and it, you know, really about listening. And now what's so funny is my daughter will say, let's collaborate. I like being collaborative. Okay, you know, so I want this now. Well, how about this? And it really, you know, takes some time, but now she's really into it. So I just wanted to mention that. And again, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. And I recommend everyone get your book, The Best Kind of Different. It was really wonderful. I hope everyone has a terrific day. Keep being healthy. Take care. Bye-bye.